Teresa led me to Earth, where I learned to see how small a human work is, and how infinitely great and majestic God is. Then I was seized by a double repentance. I wanted to repent, and I asked God to let me sin. In this sphere, I will endure a second death, that is, I will go through a second transformation. I will shed this spiritual body and put on a new body in order to reach the fourth atmospheric ring. I will study in the sphere where Teresa lives, there I will learn to love and worship God, and prepare myself for repentance. Then I will go down to earth to spread light and for the glory of God. What converted me? Love, which will remain eternal and eternal. Chapter 11 Third Atmospheric Ring Second Sphere. The abode of philosophers who deny God. Under the influence of Mars and Aries. North wind. Causes stomach aches. Catiline, in this sphere, nature is like in the first sphere of this atmosphere. The spirits here are mostly immersed in deep thoughts, many talk loudly to themselves or argue with each other. In one of the spirits I recognize a very famous philosophical writer on earth, a master of logic, in whose logic, however, God did not appear at all, because he considered it illogical. Let us call this spirit Dalmas. I addressed him, he looked up in annoyance and said, "Who addressed me? Who is disturbing my thoughts? Gentlemen, everything is just a state, an imagination. The states change and with them are imaginations. Only the self remains the same." Catiline, so you still accept in self? If I am not mistaken, you are Talmus, you wrote a logic in which you deny the creator and claim that everything is only self-transformation. T-A-L-M-U-S, quite right. We ourselves are the cause of ourselves and a cause that consists of transformations, transformations. Catiline, if you yourself are the cause of your existence, then you can accept that the universe has a creator, a lord, who is the cause of all causes. T-A-L-M-U-S, the creator self is completely unnecessary in my opinion. Creation came from itself. I myself transformed myself into a different being by the power of transformation. Catherine, tell me something about your transformation, which I call the death of the body and the resurrection of the spirit. T-A-L-M-U-S. Very well, but do not mention the word spirit. We have no idea of this. We have no need of God and spirit to think logically. These words were invented by simple people who always cling to one imagination, one thought. What is imagination? What our senses show. The imagination changes with our transformation and we, the reason, take a different direction. Death is also a purely human expression. It is nothing other than a natural transformation for which we do not need God. Since I am the reason, I have changed according to my own law, and now I am in a world whose ideas correspond to my transformation. Catherine, are you happy? T-A-L-M-U-S. Happy? Oh, what a human question. What is happiness? It is the idea of the senses of all times. This idea changes with the changes. What seems happiness to you is nothing to me. To me, the thought is everything. I am neither happy nor unhappy, neither cold nor hot. How could reason feel? Catiline, have you never known love? Have you never loved? Neither father, nor mother, nor wife, nor child. T-A-L-M-U-S. Love. Oh, what a happy thought. What a perverse growth. What an outgrowth of sense. The affection of blood is what parents and children. We feel, which is dulled by age. A man loves his child as a product of reason, as his own creation. But this too fades away as soon as the product becomes independent and creates its own ideas. The other, which you call love, is purely sexual arousal. No, I am not so weak as to be able to cling to something changeable. A man must be content with himself. I study causes, observe transformations and reflect on them. Well, that is enough, live happily. Think about your transformation. Catherine, with these words he passed away. Talmus explains spiritual life by experience. He calls everything a transformation and strives to explain it by experience. On Earth he explained spiritual life by the convolutions of the brain, by the peculiarities of organization. He does not understand his present state, and yet he wants to explain it in the same way. It will take him a long time to learn that the cause of creation is God. Finally he gets tired of always going around in the same circle of thought, and finally he gets exhausted and becomes dull. You know that every spirit has a dual. In such cases of stubbornness, the dual's task is to help the spirit belonging to it to come to knowledge and to awaken it from this rigidity. No spirit can achieve this better than the dual, due to the inner spiritual bond of the duals belonging together. Since I was very interested in the spirit of Dalmas, I asked Betty to help me find the dual spirit of Dalmas. A magnetic fluid bond binds dual spirits together, no matter how far they are from each other and how far they have distanced themselves from each other due to infidelity and sins. It was not easy to find this spirit, for the fluidic bond between these two spirits had been broken many times. At last we found the spirit in the first atmospheric ring and its third sphere. He had violently ended his earthly life by throwing himself into the cold foam. He said that the coldness and cruelty of Dalmas had brought him to this. Turning to me, he said, "O you, spirit of light, will you bring me comfort and forgiveness? I was so poor and wretched on earth, so depraved, and yet I loved that great scholar, but he would know nothing of me anymore." He turned away from me coldly and heartlessly. I knocked at his door hungry and shivering, but he threw me out. Oh, then I wept bitterly and sought oblivion among the foam. Yet I cannot forget, because death, it does not kill, it makes you more alive. Do you bring news of Dalmas? My name is Atel. Caitlin, Dalmas died on earth without believing in God. Now he is in the spirit world without being aware of it. He is only absorbed in his thoughts. Atel, oh, you good spirits, lead me to him. If he is alone and abandoned, he will not push away his poor Atel. I would so gladly do something good. Perhaps I could awaken faith in his spirit, because I know, I feel that God exists. Caitlin, the hour for that has not yet come. It depends on your own improvement when you can help Dalmas. Therefore, dear Atel, obey the mission spirits that God sends here, to guide and instruct you on the right path. Atel promised to obey. Love and the desire to help Dalmas and will certainly give wings to his good intentions, and the hour will come when, fulfilling his dual duty born of love, he will ignite the light of faith in the spirit of Dalmas. Chapter 12, Third Atmospheric Ring, Third Sphere. Laziness, Lust, Unbelief. East Wind. Influence of Saturn and Libra. Causes venereal diseases. Caitlin, I present to you pictures from this sphere, from which you can judge the conditions of this sphere for yourself. This is the so-called worldly sphere. The spirits of those people who belonged to the highest classes of society on earth reside in it. They were rich, educated, knew neither poverty nor need, they swam in all earthly pleasures and actually had no religion whatsoever, since they never thought of God, did not care about their spiritual salvation. This is a world of unscrupulousness, of frivolity. How oppressive the air in this sphere is! It is as stuffy, as suffocating, as it is before a thunderstorm. Strong electric currents run through it. Everything is dry, and the sky is covered with dark clouds. However, in this sphere there are magnificent palaces full of treasures. All this is an atmospheric reflection of the earth. There, in the reflections, in the mirage of palaces, jewels, and luxury, live the former owners of these treasures, on which they clung with all their hearts. Here they must learn that possession, property, is but an empty dream, for these images are shattered at the slightest touch. From photography you can form some idea of the production of atmospheric images that appear to be real objects. Moreover, on Earth there are atmospheric reflections that appear to be reality. Whoever was a fool for something on Earth will remain in this passion for a while even after death, until he learns the truth. But passion becomes torment after death. I saw the rich banker M. In the image of his earthly palace, he was sitting in his brightly furnished room and was crying. I went up to him and said, "My dear friend, what is the matter? Why are you crying?" He jumped up and bowed, and replied, "O Baroness, are you really here too? Unfortunately, you have a palace here too?"
"Catherine, thank God, I am not. I only came here to see you.
Very beautiful. Do you know that I died? I had a magnificent funeral." The newspapers reported everything in great detail. It was a first-class funeral. It cost several thousand. It was a truly rare and beautiful funeral. The whole town talked about it. As a consolation, I had the funeral procession with all its torchlight processions pass in front of me several times. In this country, it is possible to do this. Wonderful. And those wreaths. Princess L. sent a wreath of lilies of the valley and roses, with a long ribbon, to the dear friend. As you can see, it still makes me sensitive. But tell me, dear Baroness, what a strange thing death is. You were a spiritualist, I believe. Perhaps you could explain it to me now?
I never thought about it on Earth. Why? One has other things to do.
Actually, I should be happy here. Everything is quite beautiful, but I notice that the man is alive, but still dead, because in reality everything is just imagination. All the wares you see here are unreliable. Don't touch this beautiful marble Diana, nor this majolica vase. It cost 600 forints. It's all just air. I don't understand how something can be imitated so well, but one can enjoy nothing. Despair. I was about to jump to my death, but the bullet went through me without killing me. This is all unreliable stuff here. I am terribly bored with myself, and everyone is bored with this deadly boring splendor that is fading into nothingness, in these oppressive palaces that are actually made of air. Catelyn, if you were happy on Earth with all those things, why aren't you here too?
Yes, indeed, where is your wife?
Don't even mention her. She is with God and the Jesuits, whom you loved so much. She is in the only salvation. I visited her, she visited me, but we realized that it was better for each of us to remain on our own planet or country. I don't even know what to call this world. Our marriage is now null and void. If I remember correctly, my wife also spoke of God.
Yes, yes, so.
She seemed very tired. I soothed her and she fell asleep. Then we took her to a sphere where there are good, pure spirits who love and worship God. Heard their songs of praise. It seemed, she was moved. She cried. Then we took her back to her palace and quietly woke her up.
"Baroness," she said, "you are still here. I have just had a beautiful dream. I dreamed of God and heard the angels singing.
Oh, if this dream were true. If there was a God, this would be salvation.
How terrible, I did not know God."
She collapsed and sobbed.
I said to her, "Dear M, there is a good God. Pray, cry out to him, and he will save you." And we all prayed together about this. We stayed there for a while with M, until he realized the futility of his former life, and until he was seized by the desire to serve God and begin a new, working life. Reincarnation will be the best means of penance and spiritual progress for him too.
Chapter 13, Third Atmospheric Ring, Fourth Sphere. Gog and Conceit. West Wind. Influence of Mercury and Aries. Causes madness and a delusion of grandeur. Catelyn, entering this sphere is extremely unsettling. The air seemed to me quite peculiar, so stifling, constantly changing between excessive heat and excessive cold. The most striking thing in this sphere are the great castles of cards and air, which collapse at any moment. Here one can find the spirits of people of all walks of life on Earth. Aristocrats, lawyers, newspaper writers, citizens, peasants, all those who were guilty of stubborn arrogance, who in their arrogance considered themselves better than others and never wanted to give in. Here are the houses of cards of their arrogance, which they built in their arrogance. On each card is a picture or writing, from which you can learn the life and arrogant thoughts of the ill-wishers. I observed a late aristocrat of Earth. He was constantly building a house of cards of his ancient lineage.
His family tree went back almost to the time before the fall of paradise. The cards all depicted the images of the ancestors, their crowns, insignia and titles. He laid card upon card and calculated the age of his lineage, and when he was ready with his magnificent building, everything collapsed. For an unfathomable time, he has been trying to piece together his ancient lineage, and he rejects all friendly, kind words. Opposite him, an angel builds a house of cards, on which all the faults, sins and sins of this spirit are written. However, this house of cards does not collapse due to the spirit's wrath. Here he sees the spirit's most secret sin, how he seduced a girl, who bore him a son, and then how the mother died in misery, and how the son, grew up abandoned, became a day laborer and ended his life in prison. "One does not care for such a child," he said quite scornfully, and turned his head away in annoyance from these truthful cards. Not far away, a newspaper writer is building his castle out of all sorts of lies, which he has written all his life. He has committed many evils with his pen, because he believed in nothing. He has made a mockery of everything intellectual, noble and good, and besides, he has imagined himself to be a very great man. Further on we see a lawyer who, as he says, owes everything to himself, builds his house of cards out of files and lawsuits, but on his cards are also all those from whom he has extorted money and who have been ruined because of him. This man has despised God in his arrogance, and even now he is building the house of cards of his scornful thoughts. A gust of wind and the building collapses. In this sphere all spirits must live together, the Jew as well as the Christian, the prince as well as the peasant. Every god develops here according to his own peculiarity and each has his own house of cards, which he builds for himself, which is at the same time his dwelling place, the symbol of his ideas, the expression of his character, and in which he would like to settle as comfortably as possible, but which collapses again at every moment. Yes, here one must learn to bitterly admit the nothingness of any Gog and to dwell bitterly for the spiritual Gog. Despair finally prepares one for humility and teaches one to pray. From this sphere then come the most humiliating reincarnations on earth among the poorest people. The spiritually foolish often becomes a fool, or a crippled beggar. If you see such a poor blind or lame, foolish creature on earth, do not seek the past of the spirit, its sins in the sick body, be kind and compassionate towards it, for no one knows whether it will not suffer a similar fate, unless it tries to deserve God's help. Here I am reporting the statement of a spirit who had sunk very low because of his sins and foolishness, and who had to live his penitential life on earth in the form of a fool. I knew him. He ran after the carts begging for money, he was happy with even the smallest piece of money, then he pulled his ugly face aside and grinned. Now I saw him in this sphere and asked him to tell me something of his past. The fool's statement. I hear a heavenly voice. Now I can speak without feeling the eternal pressure on my mind. Shall I tell you whether I have lived on earth before and whether I am conscious of my terrible sin? It is difficult for me to speak of it, I do not like to do so, but since you have always been so good to the odious fool, I will tell you what my spirit came to know about long after my death. Perhaps about 1,000 years ago I was on earth and was a cruel boy, leading a wild and unbridled life. Even Gog had me under his control because of my crude and godless existence. I wanted to rule over others. After this life on earth I was supposed to improve in the spirit world, but I resisted going to the spirit world and remained on earth and wandered as an evil spirit. I forced my reincarnation on myself. I became a servant of the Inquisition. There I could give free rein to my cruelty. I had people dragged to the torture table and burned. I did truly diabolical things. No means were evil or cruel enough for me. I shudder to think of it. After the second death I became even more evil than after the first. I acted in the same way as before. I wandered the earth, always staying where I found sin and evil deeds. Then I came across a very arrogant ruler. Her evil, perverted spirit attracted mine with sympathy. I became the child of this woman, a prince, and later a ruler. Let me describe this life, because the sin of lust, the satisfaction of sensual desires, was also added to the cruelty. I became abominable. After my death, things were different. I was under the influence of a coercive law, the measure of evil deeds was full. I was imprisoned, as there is enough in the spiritual world. I was in a desolate, barren place, from which I sought in vain for an exit. I was alone with my evil spirits and my evil deeds. Since I had never loved anyone, no one came to comfort me. Only the spirits of those I had murdered stood threateningly before my spirit. Oh, how often I wished for death, which would make me forget everything. The consciousness of my immortality was the torment of my soul. Once, after a long time, it seemed to me as if some faint light had made its way through the darkness and as if I had heard my name. I followed this light, which led to another spiritual sphere, where a glorious angel was sitting in judgment over many prisoners. He imposed penance and punishment on them. Many submitted to the angel's orders and went obediently to begin their penance. Others, however, rebelled and, taking advantage of this momentary freedom, rushed to earth like a herd of wild beasts, where they were driven by the evil current. These devils, who rush upon men as punishment and temptation. Each of these spirits, if possible, quickly reincarnates, but this is not an easy thing, for there are men who are surrounded by good walls and guardian spirits, and these are inaccessible to such evil spirits. The incarnations are overseen by special spirits and are guided in such a way that arbitrariness is almost impossible. This time my unbridledness was limited, for I was incarnated under conditions that were considered a severe punishment for my ego. If I had been obedient and humble this time, I would have become a healthy peasant boy. But my spirit was full of anger and suppressed rage at having to incarnate in a simple, poor woman. I had distorted my body in the mother's womb and had a destructive effect on the formation of the brain. My body became as deformed and evil as I was, a reflection of my poor self. I could not create a healthy brain for myself. The ability to speak was taken away from me, because I had sinned so much with my tongue. The gog still lived in me. I felt my bitter humiliation. That is why I became a wicked fool. When people teased me and laughed at me, I went wild and hit them right and left. I only loved the cows that I had to look after, and you, who gave me cruisers and now addressed me. This punishment did my spirit good. People said of me, "He does not want to work, he thinks he is a great lord." And wasn't I once that? Wasn't I a ruler? It is not madness, then, for a fool to remember the past. Woe to man with his sins, from which he finds it so difficult to get rid of. Pray for me. Augustine, this confession is extremely instructive. It clearly explains how his stupidity arose. No one can accuse God of injustice. There are no coincidences. The spirit determines its own fate by its qualities and past life. Chapter 14, Third Atmospheric Ring, Fifth Sphere. False oaths, adultery. Influence of the moon and Scorpio. Southeast wind. Causes gout. Catherine, the Lord Jesus said, "Let your speech be, yes, yes, no, no." Anything more than these is from the evil one. But people are quick to swear. In the name of God, they swear virginity and fidelity, and they bind themselves to things that they cannot keep later. They swear by things that they neither believe nor know, and therefore swear falsely, and use the name of God for infidelity and treachery. In this sphere, too, all religions and social classes are represented. In the second atmospheric ring, the religious fanatics and hypocrites, the Pharisees, reside. In this sphere, those servants of the church who were sworn, lived sensual lives, and did not believe in the things they were supposed to represent. Those who break the marriage vow also sin here. The various churches are represented here with their buildings and customs, but all the images are false and depraved, just like those they represented. Here are all those who swore allegiance to God, but broke their vows before the image of their disfigured faith and their defiled church, and all the unholiness and evils that they have committed, in violation of their promise to God, are written with flame on the walls of the churches, and the bells of these churches ring harshly and fearfully throughout this sphere, accusing the priests here of their sins. This is a sad and touching complaint. You have sworn and broken the oath, souls were entrusted to your conscience. You have sinned with the name of God on your lips. Alas! Alas for you! Some spirits throw themselves on the ground in repentance and ask God for forgiveness, others complain and weep, others again want to flee and hide, but they cannot. The hypocrite and the false sage, who now sees his true self, falls down in fear, as if he had seen a monster. Let your tears of repentance and confession flow. Your sin will be grave. You have come under the law of reincarnation and penance. A grave earthly death awaits you, which will wash away the stain of your broken oath from your soul. Often, disasters and catastrophes occur on earth, when several people die at once, such as shipwrecks, theater fires, earthquakes, mining and railroad accidents, explosions, and wars. Then many hundreds of people die a painful death, which is the punishment of the spirit. God has chosen each one who must die in this way, and this serves for the spiritual salvation of each one. Those who have broken the oath they made to God when they married stand devastated before their church, where they were married and took the oath of fidelity. Among the mourners I recognized my acquaintance, Laura, who was once a beautiful but frivolous woman. The otherwise beautiful, proud woman was now bent, old, and collapsed. When she saw me, she turned away timidly, as if my gaze hurt her. I went up to her, wanted to give her my hand, and said, "Laura, don't you recognize me? After all, we were friends from our youth." "Don't touch me," she cried wildly. "You are such a hard-hearted moral judge. After all, I have never hurt you," I replied. "Perhaps I can help you? You want to help me?" he cried. "Go away, I can't bear your gaze, you are so bright. Do you know that I had an affair with your uncle?" I looked at him sadly. "Yes, I know. I also know how much his wife suffered because of it. But now you are all in the spirit world." That's right," he interrupted. "Oh, her husband was here, I saw it. Everyone here knows about my sin, now they don't find me beautiful anymore, and his wife has become an angel. She came here and took her husband with her. Where will my husband be? He won't take him with him? He also swore to lead me, to protect me, but he forgot. You know," I replied, "that your husband was never unfaithful to you, that he loved you despite your mistakes. Surely he still loves you, and would gladly help you, if he would allow it. Seek the path to him through repentance and prayer." He wept and said, "If you meet him, greet him in my name." We continued our journey through this sphere. On the way, I saw a man sitting thoughtfully, his hands folded, looking darkly before him. In front of him, a hideous woman, who looked like a dirty gypsy woman, crouched, and stared at him. In the man, I recognized my friend from my youth, Alagios. He had a beautiful, young wife and pretty children. He had left them to live with a depraved person of the lowest degree, who ruled his soul like a demon. When he grew old and sick, this person with whom he lived beat him. His wife had died long ago, otherwise she would have done everything to free her sick husband from the clutches of this demon. When she died, people said, "Well, he has finally been freed from this woman." Freed? Here I saw how he was freed. The sensual life had so dulled his spirit that he now sits here sullenly without the strength to free himself from this woman. Sin had chained them together. They hated, detested each other, and yet they could not part. "You have chosen each other, so stay together," this was the verdict. I addressed him, "Alagios, don't you know me?" He looked at me in amazement. "Is it you?" he said, and he wanted to come towards me, but the woman grabbed him by the folds of her long cloak. "You stay here," he screamed. He wanted to kick the woman away from him, but she clung to him like a burdock. "Oh," he cried, "I am in hell, this is the devil. Help me," and he stretched out his arms towards me in prayer. "God is merciful," I said. He will deliver you if you beg for mercy. That will not allow, he said. No, I will not allow, the woman screamed. God does not exist for us. Their eyes saddened me. It is a disconsolate state, I told Betty.